May the Lord stand for us in the time of trouble in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Maybe because we've been doing this together before, probably that's why response have been scanty. Because in other places, we have to beg them to stop so that I can make my own contributions. The story here needs a little bit of background. You know what happened? King David had been sent to exile as a result of the rebellion of his favorite son, Absalom. And then there was a fight. Joab led the army of Israel, of King David, against the army of Absalom. And Joab conquered, killed Absalom. And then, now that the rebellion had been quashed, the king said, "Why am I still in exile? I should be able to come back home now. Because those who rebelled against me, their leader is gone." That's why he now sent to Judah. Because if you go through the history of David very well, he first became king over Judah before he became king over Israel. Now he sent to Judah. Even Israel is saying, "Come back. But why are you the very first people I was king over, not doing anything?" For us as Christians, this is a parable. Because the king we're interested in now is not David, but Jesus Christ. And it will amaze you that he is in exile. And he wants to come back. So we're going to look at it from that point of view so that we will understand fully. So who is the king? Jesus, Revelation chapter 19, from verse 11 to 16. Revelation 19, 11 to 16. Also in the King of Kings. And then the same Revelation 22, verse 16, Revelation 22, verse 16, calls him the root and the offspring of David. The root and the offspring of David. So you can see the link between King David and the one who is the root, the one who brought David to the surface, and now is called Jesus, the son of David. Now, what drove the king away? Rebellion. What is rebellion? Rebellion, as far as we understand, is incomplete obedience. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 15, from verse 1 to 23, 1 Samuel 15, 1 to 23, when Samuel was talking to King Saul, after he fails to comply 100% with the instruction of God, he told him he was in rebellion. And he said rebellion is like witchcraft. And so, in John 15 verse 14, we now get, who are the rebels? Because in John 15, verse 14, Jesus Christ said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. We are the rebels now because we are not obeying him completely. We are not witnessing with all our hearts. We are not following up even those that are what. We are not obeying him completely. And so we are the rebels. Who led the rebellion against King David? Absalom, his favorite son. So who led the rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ? The very people that will say, Jesus loves me more than you. Maybe we'll find one or two people like that in the room. Absalom stands for what? Quite a lot of things. Absalom was a handsome man. I mean, if you read about him, you know. And Absalom represents the loss of the eyes. As they say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And if you look at Judges chapter 16 from verse 1 to 21, Judges 16 from verse 1 to 21, you will discover that the biggest problem of Samson was I saw this one, I saw that one. It is loss of the eyes, which is why when the enemy caught him, first thing they did was they put out his eyes. Who was Absalom? What does Absalom represent? Absalom was a very pleasant man. He would call the people, gather them together. Oh, your case is good. If only I were the king, I would have supported you, because he was a pleasant man. And so Absalom also represents the loss of the flesh. And according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, the Bible advises you to flee. Absalom was also a proud young man. He represents the pride of life. He wants position. So the hunger for position. I want to be this. I want to be that. They are all traits of Absalom. In Mark chapter 10, from verse 35 to 45, Mark 10, 35 to 45, James and John, his brother, came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, when you return in your kingdom, let one of us sit on your right hand and the other on the left. There were 12 of them chosen. So it's not a new problem, it will be there all along. The two were just laying position for position. I will find it in all spheres of life. Even in the Redeemed Christian Church of God. hear people talk to me about it, and it's nothing new. It's been there, even among the truth chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes the fire of the Holy Spirit to deal with that. And that's why we need to seriously pay attention to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. 1 John chapter 2, from verse 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because what are the love of the world is not the love of the Father. And then you miss them, the loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now I'm sure you will say, sir, I am not a rebel. I have never rebelled against God. Rebellion comes by beats. Rebellion does not come all of a sudden. It comes just a little bit at a time. If you study Samson very well, from Judges chapter 14, from verse 1 to 9, Judges 14, from verse 1 to 9, that's the first time you see him telling his parents, I found a woman, she pleased me well, get her for me. And the parents said, you can't find one among your own people. He said, no, agree with me, I'm the one with power. Do what I say. Not only that, on the way to visit the girl, he killed a lion. And when he returned later on, he found there was honey inside the carcass. And he took part of the honey and ate it. As a Nazarite, he's not supposed to touch dead bodies. That's little problem. He nearly took honey from a dead carcass. The carcass of a dead lion. But then he moved on in his rebellion. When you read Judges 15 from verse 14 to 19, Judges 15, 14 to 19, he had that great victory where he killed 1,000. Read that passage. He never said a word of thank you to God. Not once. As a matter of fact, throughout his life, there was not a single occasion when he said, thank you, Jesus. Anything at all is attributed to him. Yes. I slain 1,000. Keep upon me. Keep upon me. It's me. Even when he cried to God for vengeance after he was captured by the enemies. His cry to God was, give me strength so I can avenge my eyes. There wasn't an element of gratitude in that young man. I believe some of us are listening. And then by the time we move to Judges chapter 16, first of all, from verse 1 to 3, Judges 16, 1 to 3, he saw a harlot and went into her. I remember some time ago I was singing the praises of women. And I came to that case of Samson and Delilah. What do you want to say about Delilah? That woman who killed a great champion. I said, said Delilah didn't kill Samson. Delilah only buried Samson. Because Samson was already dead before he met Delilah. I consider a pastor who goes outside the city to commit adultery and then come back pretending as if nothing has happened. That pastor is dead. Samson was dead. He wanted to go to Orlando. He would leave his hometown, go across the border, finish what he's doing there, and come back and see nothing had happened. He was already a dead man. It was just that Delilah now helped in the burial ceremony. And then when you read Judges 16 from verse 4 all the way to 21, Judges 16 from verse 1 to 21, you will see how step by step by step this man moved lower and lower and lower. Oh, if you bind me with a particular kind of rope, I will be helpless. Oh, if the ropes are brand new, I will be helpless. Oh, if you weave my hair. And that's where the devil began to smile. And then finally, if you shape up my hair. Backsliding takes place little by little. You used to pray for 1 hour solid. Now you begin to pray for 55 minutes. You won't notice the difference. Then 15 minutes. Then 45 minutes. And then very soon you begin to say, Jesus has finished it. Oh, you used to fast. Now when they announce a fast, you say, oh God, you're coming. Little by little. Little by little. When I was asked to speak on the fire must not go out, at the centenary of the modern day Pentecost, World Conference of Pentecostals in America, to mark the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit that came a little more than 100 years ago. I was asked to speak on the fire must not go out. And all the big, big boys from all over the world were there. I told them, if you have a congregation of 100,000 and they become 99,000, you won't notice from the altar. Because it means only one seat will be empty out of 100. The crowd will look the same. 99,000, 100,000, they look the same. And before you know it, 99,000 will become 98,000. You still won't notice. Before you know that the fire is dying, it takes a while. And many a time you become used to the cooler flame. You have reasons to be for all these things. Oh, people don't want to come to church anymore. Because they can follow my sermon on the internet. They can. You won't say it is me. But now, it's having a problem. So when we say, who drove away the Lord Jesus Christ? Ask yourself. Am I where I used to be? Am I as close? to me as I was. Why must I bring back the king? Because before he left, before they drove David away, he took care of the affairs, he took care of the lion, he took care of the bear, he took care of Goliath. When Jesus was Jesus in you, 100%, you had no fear. But there's a stage in your Christian life that you can face the devil, you can face anybody. You didn't know fear. I'm sorry, maybe I'm talking like I believe everybody's like me. Was a stage in your life, in your Christian life, that you were ready to face the whole world. If only God is with you. I remember years ago, 1979, when we were at the University of Israel. And I was asking my people there, they said, there is a town, I can't see the name of the town, where there's not a single church. You dare not go there to evangelize. They destroyed you. I said, is that true? He said, glory be to God. You are going. No, sir. I said, okay. I went to Lagos and met my father in Lagos. They told me there is a town somewhere in Kwara State where there's no church. To go there for evangelism, dry out your pocket. Because I'm under authority. Father said to me, why are you asking me? Is it not written, go ye into the whole world? I says, yes, sir. I said, what are you asking for? Thank you, sir. I came back. My wife is my witness. Gather all the young people together. Went to the place. House to house with person with, they say, you dare not do. They will kill you. Indeed. Within 1 hour of getting to the town, the traditional ruler sent for us. We hear that you are here. No, we're not causing trouble. We're just here to tell the people that Jesus loves them. He said, be careful. I don't want trouble. No trouble, sir. You can go. And we went. You can get the full details for my wife. One of these days. Another 2 hours, they sent for us. These troublemakers are going from, they are visiting our women in order. I got the long story short. That town today is headquarters with problems. There was a time you knew no fear. If you know fear now, it's because the king is on exile. Because when he's not in exile, he said, John 14 verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You just believe in God. Believe also. When he was around, he told you in Mark 11 verse 22 to 23, Mark 11 22 to 23, he said, just have faith in God. Then you can move any mountain. When he was here, he established a link between you and God. When David was around before they sent him to exile, he broke the ark of the covenant. And 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 15 to 17. 2 Samuel 6, 15 to 17. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 13 to 16, Ephesians 2, 13 to 16, he said, Jesus Christ is our peace. He's broken all down the wall of partition between us and God. So, bring back the king. Bring him back to your home. And sickness will stay out. Matthew chapter 8, from verse 14 to 15. Matthew 8, 14 to 15. When he entered the home of Peter, the mother had to. And the fever departed so that the mother can serve the Lord. Bring the king back to your cities, and there will be joy in the cities. Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. Acts 8, 5 to 8. Bring the king back to your nation. As in 1 Kings chapter 18, 25 to 39. 1 Kings 18, 25 to 39. Bring him back, and the whole nation will be shouting, Jesus is Lord. Bring him back to your church. Are you saying the king is not in the church? Well, why don't you read Revelation 3:20? Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And the owner of the church is knocking the door from outside, asking that he be let in. Look at all the churches all over the world. Look at denominations. Look at what is happening on Sundays. They have to bring in jokers now to come and crack jokes on Sunday morning to attack them. Churches where people will pray and weep under the conviction of their sins, where people will pray and the ground will shake. Now the ground shakes with laughter. Because the king has been taken out. More importantly, bring the pain back for your own soul. Put an end to your rebellion. 2 Samuel chapter 18, from verse 8 to 15. 2 Samuel 18, verse 8 to 15. The rebel must die if the king is to return. What's the conclusion? Return to your first love. Revelation chapter 2, from verse 2 to 5. Revelation 3:55. He said, I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. Return. Return. Sit down and examine where you used to be. As a younger Christian, look at where you are today. At times, it's very difficult to know that you have shifted. It takes an occasional divine visitation like this one to wake you up. I was driving from Lagos River. Of course, we had had money devotion before I left anybody would know who had ever traveled with me. And before I left home, I prayed. When I got into the car, I prayed. And as we were going, suddenly the Lord spoke to me and said, "Sir, when was the last time you and I had fellowship together?" This morning, we had money devotion. I prayed before I left home. I prayed even when I was in the car. I said, "You know what I'm talking about. You can't deserve it." He's not interested in rituals. He's not interested in what is regular. He's talking about intimacy. He says, "Sir, you remember those days when you'll be driving and you'll be praising me and your head will swell and you'll be weeping and you'll have to act to control yourself before you can continue driving?" He said, "When was the last time that happened?" "Ah, Lord, you know I have a driver now. If the driver suddenly he asked me something, he's going to be embarrassed. Oh, so it's my fault. Because I trusted you." I said, "Lord, just get me back in safety. If you can't do it in the camp anymore, I can't do it alone." That day, waited till around 11 p.m. when everybody was sleeping, and sneaked out. Went to the old auditorium, and I just started praising him. Only Jesus can say, "Hallelujah, only Jesus can say, Hallelujah." And he came. Bring back the king. Stop pretending. And he said, "Tell that man, if he brings me back, I will put him in the position of drawer." Drawer was a comfort. He said, "You bring me back, I will be sooner than a comfort." Shall we pray? Do you want to tell the Almighty Jesus to come back and take his position in your heart? Will you call on him to restore to you the full joy of salvation? Will you ask him for grace to return to your first love? In prayer, in evangelism, in giving, will you ask him to help you to stop giving excuses? To stop looking for reasons why you couldn't do what you wish to do. It is fully aware that when there is a will, there is always a way. That is not the loss of the land that is hindering you from doing his will. It's you. You and I are the rebels. We are the one who sent the king on exile. And we are the ones lagging behind in bringing him back. If you ask for forgiveness and take action now. Thank you, Father. Let's begin to bring our prayers to a close. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Our Father and our God, once again we want to say good morning to you. Thank you very much for waking us up. Thank you for what you did yesterday. Thank you in advance for what you will do for the rest of this week. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. King of glory, please come back into our lives.
Amen.
Come back into our souls.
Amen.
Come and take your place again.
Amen.
Father, in our homes, come and reign again.
Amen.
In your churches, come and reign again.
Amen.
In Manchester, come and reign.
Amen.
In the United Kingdom, come and reign.
Amen.
In the whole world, come and reign.
Amen.
And please, Lord God Almighty, the grace for us to be partakers of those who will bring you back quickly. Release for us today.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name we are praying.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.